Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Thai Beverage's conference call to discuss the financial and operating results for the first 9 months of 2007. My name is Richard Jones, Head of Investor Relations, and I shall be leading you through our presentation today. If anyone does not have a copy of the presentation, you should find one on the SGX website and on our ThaiBev.com website in the IR section. The agenda for this call is to run through the presentation and highlight key points for you. This should take about 20 minutes. We will then allow an open question and answer session with our management, who are in the room with me today. Please give your name and company address before asking questions. We will now start the presentation. Turning to slide 2. Please read through the note on forward-looking statements. Thai Beverage will not forecast quantitatively, but we may guide you qualitatively. Be aware things may change rapidly over time. Moving on to slide 3. Please be aware that we use Thai GAAP in our reported statements. It is important to note that we have restated our financial statements for 2006 to account for the assets, liabilities and operations of PS UK and Best Spirits, which were acquired by our subsidiary International Beverage Holdings Limited, IBHL. In this presentation, we have restated the first 9 months of 2006 to consolidate these new subsidiaries for a fair comparison with the first 9 months of 2007. We have provided complete results for the third quarter of 2007 compared to the third quarter 2006 in all our financial statements and other reports through the SGX. However, to provide investors with a fair understanding of our business, we would like to focus on the first 9 months of 2007 and compare with the first 9 months of 2006. To make understanding our results clearer, we have reorganized the presentation of information to cover just three business segments: beer and water, spirits, and industrial alcohol. Note that all monetary amounts given here are in millions of Thai baht, unless otherwise stated. Volumes are given in millions of litres, unless otherwise stated. In the prospectus, you may see the term hectolitres. 1 hectolitre is 100 litres. Brown spirits are coloured spirits made from molasses and whiskies. White spirits are clear spirits made from molasses. Please turn to slide 5 for a brief look at the highlights of the first 9 months. Both beer and brown spirits have continued to perform strongly, with volumes of beer rising 5.9% and beer revenues up 5% compared with the same period last year, largely due to the continued strong performance of our low alcohol beers. Brown spirits have also continued to make gains, with volumes rising 11.6% in the first 9 months. On a quarterly basis, the growth of brown spirit sales volume in Q3 of 3.1% was lower than the previous periods due to the fact that the company announced price increases of Hong Tong and Blend 285 immediately after the tax increase announcement, which caused September sales to slow down as dealers decided to deplete their old price stocks before buying new stocks. White spirits volumes declined 8% over the first 9 months due to the continuing poor economy. Consumers appear to have to trade down to white spirits with a cheaper price, such as community spirits or moonshine liquor, or by purchasing half bottles of shots. Just one glass of spirits that you can buy at a local shop in the countryside. You may ask why white spirits is declining, yet brown spirits keeps improving. We believe this is mainly due to the fact that white spirits drinkers are the poorest segment of society and are the first to trade down to half bottles or moonshine. Brown spirits consumers, on the other hand, are mainly urban and are a different economic category, not as affected as the white spirits drinkers by the economy. Regarding our costs, we have lowered the amount of free spirits which we use as a marketing tool down to just 0.8% of spirit sales volume. Free beer was 7.9%, but don't forget that our end of the year target is 8%, and we feel that we are still on track there. We are starting to see higher income tax expenses now, as some of the benefits of losses carried forward have been fully utilised. This has resulted in the tax base increasing, but the corporate income tax rate in Thailand remains at 30%. We've also announced a logistics project that will increase the efficiency of our distribution network, and that's worth 2.5 billion baht. Our total liabilities are continuing to decline as we pay off our long-term bond. This should be fully retired in February 2008 with a payment of about 3 billion baht. We are also seeing a decrease in short-term loans and amounts to related parties. Now, if you don't mind turning to the 5,000 million baht bills to financial institutions, a large part of that was used for financing. Now let's turn to slide number 6 for more highlights. We're continuing to see low alcohol beer sales strongly, especially Achar. Our main competitor in Thailand, Hoon Rod Breweries, recently announced the launch of Isan Beer to compete against Achar in the northeast mainly of the country, and therefore we expect the competition in beer to remain hot for the foreseeable future. We also recently announced that we would increase the production capacity of PET bottles, those are plastic bottles, for our drinking water. This will cost 194 million baht. Capacity will increase to 111 million PET bottles, or about 70 million litres per year, from the current capacity of 14 million PET bottles, or 7 million litres per year. We made a decision to undertake the expansion after a study of the market, which revealed that small producers are exiting the business due to the imposition of more stringent health and hygiene regulations amid a continuously growing market demand for bottled water. Thai Beverage has also acquired a new white spirits brand called Mikau, or White Bear, in August this year. This was done through the purchase of shares in two companies called United Products Company Limited, or UPC, and SPM Foods and Beverages Company Limited, or SPM. The purpose of this acquisition was to enable Thai Bev to obtain new customers and new brands of liquor products, in particular white spirits, to diversify our current alcohol beverage business and to enter into a new non-alcohol beverage business. Those companies produce Mangong Tejing White Spirits, Noble Lord's Whiskey, Tumbler Whiskey, and Bacardi Breezes under contract to Bacardi. Non-alcoholic products include Fruit Net Jelly Drink, SPM Juice, and Furen Seasoning Sauce. The planned share purchase will be complete by the end of this year. In August, we saw a rise in the excise taxes for white and compound spirits. The specific rate on white spirits rose from 70 baht to 100 baht a litre of pure alcohol. The specific rate on compound spirits rose from 240 baht to 280 baht per litre of pure alcohol. The ex-factory or ad valorem rate on white spirits rose from 25% to 50%, but did not change on compound spirits. This affected all white spirits brands, plus our compound spirits Hong Kong, Blend 285, Mangong Tong, Sir Dam, and Siang Chun. Mangong Tong, I would like to point out, is part of our legacy inventory, which means that tax has already been paid at the old rate several years ago, and we still have about a year of stock left. I should also like to point out here that the government chooses the rate that offers the most revenue to the government. We do pass on all taxes to the distributors. Keep in mind that up until 4 years ago, the tax on white spirits was 100 baht per litre of pure alcohol. Now let's turn to slide number 7. These are our consolidated financial highlights. Sales revenue, as you see, rose by 3.1% to 71,299 million baht. Cost of goods sold remained in proportion at 70.1% of sales. SG&A rose slightly to 13.8% of revenue. EBITDA rose 2.9% to 15,422 million baht. Our EBITDA margin remained steady at 21.6% for the first 9 months. Net profit was down slightly by 2.5% to 7,190 million baht, as you would expect due to the depreciation on our factory expansion at the Gampeng Pet Brewery. The third quarter saw about 160 million baht in depreciation for the factory expansion alone. However, the net profit margin remained at a reasonable 10.1%. Now let's move on to slide number 9, please. Beer continued to show improvement, with sales revenue up 5% to 34,100 million baht, with the cost of goods sold down slightly to 77.6% of sales. SG&A rose to 13.5% of sales due to an increase in our idle cost and higher employee and marketing expenses. Besides a rise in the amount of free beer used as a promotion tool during the traditionally low season, the third quarter is our low season, don't forget, we've also increased our marketing staff to prepare for future growth. Now, EBITDA was up 3.7% to 4,882 million baht as the improved sales helped to cover the employee and marketing expenses. EBITDA margin remained steady at 4.3%. Higher depreciation costs arising from our brewery expansion and the end of tax benefits due to losses carried forward brought the bottom line down to 15.7% to 1,277 million baht and the margin down to 3.7%. Let's move on to slide number 10, beer volumes. Looking at volumes, we can now clearly see that the wider product range in rural areas is having an effect, with the younger consumers moving over somewhat from Chang to low alcohol beers like Achar. Be careful of that number, the 329.7% growth in low alcohol beers, as this is starting from a very low base last year, so it's not really that comparable. We are still pleased that total beer grew 5.9%, however. As our guidance would normally be around 6% to 8% for the whole year, this is looking quite realistic. Free beer increased slightly, but again, our target is 8% for the full year, and this is still reasonable. Volumes of soda water declined by 16.2% to 7.9 million litres. However, this product is still profitable. Water increased 1.9%, and the project to increase PET bottle production should affect sales positively in the future. Now let's turn to slide number 11. Not much to talk about here. It's a cost breakdown that many of you will be familiar with from our IR presentations. As you see, the packaging at 10.5% and raw materials at 5.5% are very much in line with previous periods. So I'll leave this for your reference and move on. Please turn to slide number 12. This is also just a quick chart to show you clearly the continued growth of our star brand Achar, which is showing no sign of slowing down at now 74.5 milliliters in the third quarter of 2007. Let's go on to now slide 13 to look at spirits. Spirits revenues were up to 1.5% in the first 9 months to 37,491 million baht. This is mostly attributable to steady growth in brown spirits. We see cost of goods sold stable at 63.8% of sales, as the increase of the sales price, you might remember we did raise sales prices in May also, as well as quite recently for a few two brands, as the price compensates then for the higher molasses prices in the first quarter of this year, when we consider the average over 9 months. But we are now seeing molasses prices starting to come down in the second half of the year, however. SG&A was up slightly to 13.5% of sales due to higher employee costs, while EBITDA rose 1.5% to 10,426 million baht due to the higher sales and decrease of free goods used in marketing. Net profit on spirits was down 0.6% to 5,973 million baht. This was mainly due to the end of tax benefits on losses carried forward, as I mentioned earlier. Let's now move on to slide 14, please. Spirits volumes. Here we can see that once again white spirits are down due to a very slow recovery in the economy of rural areas. Consumers are trading down in volume, meaning that they are foregoing the whole bottles and going more for the half bottles of white spirits or even shots. We believe a portion is trading down to moonshine, which we do of course regard as a serious health risk. Though brown spirits volumes are small in comparison, they are consumed more by urban and suburban consumers who were not as badly affected by the economy. Sales volumes grew 11.6% over 9 months, and this is a very encouraging sign that our premiumization policy is on the right track. Overall, spirits volumes down 4%, but much better cost control coming with free brown spirits down 82.2%, just 0.6% of the total volume of brown spirits. Remembering that the lower free goods to distributors is the equivalent of raising the price also. Let's turn to slide 15. Again, another common pie chart that we give away in our IR presentation. This is the breakdown of costs in line with previous periods. In proportion, that is, of overall costs. So we'll leave this for your reference and move on to the next slide. Now, if you please turn to slide 16, the first 9 months of 2007 have been quite poor for the industrial alcohol business, unfortunately. Sales revenue for the first 9 months was 502 million baht, a decrease of 210 million baht, or 29.5% over the same period last year. This was due to both low sales volume and low price, resulting from a withdrawal of government support to ban the import of 95-octane gasoline. The industrial alcohol business showed a net loss of 122 million baht. The future of this business, however, I'd like to say is still promising if it receives the promotion and support of the government as expected one day, as well as better demand should oil prices continue to rise and alternative fuels start to become essential to transportation globally. The Thai Alcohol Company commenced exports abroad this year, and over the 9 months we sold 2 million litres of alcohol 95. Now let's turn to slide number 17, please. Okay. Overseas. Now, during the third quarter 07, International Beverage Holdings Limited, or IBHL, continued to integrate Inverhouse into its current operations and establish routes to overseas markets for Thai Bev products. Due to rising Scotch malt demand and prices, Inverhouse distillers performed quite well during the past few quarters, and we believe the company will continue to do well going forward. The business in other markets where IBHL has a presence continues to develop according to plan. We now sell to 19 markets globally and are actively following up their distribution contracts in 85 countries for further opportunities. Notable highlights in the third quarter included the following. This is quite recent news. Inverhouse Distillers received the Distiller of the Year award in the Icons of Whiskey 2007 event recently. Following the launch of Chang Beer in the USA, which we've mentioned in the last period, the brand was rolled out to the East Coast markets. We intend to move into West and other states over the course of time. The Mekong brand has been repackaged and it's to be launched into selected international markets with the slogan, "The Spirit of Thailand." The official launch took place on September the 30th this year at a dinner in London. The event was a great success. I was there and I can tell you it was very well appreciated by all of the Thai restaurant owners that were there. We started to ship Chang to Australia and New Zealand recently. In Australia, we've got a distribution deal with Woolworths, which is over 1,000 stores around the country. In New Zealand, we are mainly selling to Thai restaurants at present. Now, if we could move on to slide number 19, interest-bearing debt. Here we can take a quick look at our debt. The first thing you will notice is that while current total debt remains stable at 17,530 million baht, long-term debt is declining slowly, down now to 4.5 billion baht. I should like to point out that we've almost paid off our long-term bond, which is due to be fully paid up in February 2008. Related party loans have decreased significantly from 4.8 billion baht as of the end of 2006, down to just 71 million as of September 30th. If we could now turn to slide number 20 for some financial ratios. These ratios continue to show the results of our conservative fiscal policies, with the current ratio standing at 1.38, slightly up due to an increase of finished goods and raw material inventories. Total debt to equity down to 0.57 to 1 due to the repayment of our bonds over time, and the net asset value is roughly 0.09 Singapore cents per share. Our accounts receivable turnover has come down to 4 days from 5 last year. Beer and water finished goods rose from 12 days to 19 days. Finished goods for spirits grew from 75 days to 95 days and reflects that we built up some inventory in anticipation of the excise tax increase in August. This does not include our legacy stock of Mekong and Mangong Tong. I think that that's about all that we should go into for now. I'd like to open the floor, if I may, for questions from our listeners. We do have people from every department here who can help out with anything that you may be interested to know. So could I ask the operator now to start the Q&A, please?
Good afternoon. I have two questions, basically. I was trying to understand more the impact of the increase in excise taxes. To what extent it could be passed on to consumers, particularly since, as you say, there's been a trading up in terms of consumption from white spirits to brown spirits. So that, together with the fact that you have higher excise tax now on white spirits, where do you see volumes for white spirits stabilizing, and what sort of intelligence are you getting on the ground in terms of consumption trends in white space? So that's one question. The other one was with regards to SG&A. I mean, the presentation showed that 9 months 07 was higher than 9 months 06 as a percentage of sales. Both the 9 months figures take into account the fact that third quarter is the weakest. So if you could also elaborate with respect to that. It seems like there's more competition coming from your side, and if you talk a little bit about that, and you know, how you expect your marketing expenses to basically come out going forward.
Okay, so I think I understand what you're asking. The very first part of your first question was, you know, how much of the tax is being passed on, and the answer is simply 100%. We never absorb taxes, never have, never will. So at we've actually passed on all of the costs to the consumers immediately and to the distributors. The reaction of the consumer to the rise in tax was different between white spirits and brown spirits, as you would imagine, because there are different economic groups that drink these two types of drinks. And we can say that beer and brown spirits are basically drunk by very similar economic groups. The reaction has obviously been, in the case of white spirits, that it hasn't started to go back up to where it was, say, for example, in 2005. It's still feeling the effect of this poor economic problem that the government, you know, is seeing at the moment, especially in rural areas. Don't forget that a couple of years ago, there was a lot of cash being pumped into the countryside. That was taken away. People do not have the same purchasing power in the very poor areas as they once did. And white spirits drinkers in urban areas would be mainly construction workers, which is basically the same economic bracket as rural people. So the reaction has been very difficult to gauge, in the sense that we've had a lot of questions since the tax rise on how can we make an elasticity of demand table, etc. And the answer is, it's extremely difficult, because the company does not sit around and wait for things to happen. We try to manage the problem. And as I did mention about the raw materials inventory and other inventories, we did build up some stock prior to the tax increase, understanding that the government intended to do that. And so that's pretty much offset the reaction on our results, because obviously, you know, we were selling continuously at the same prices for a while, as the prices were allowed then to gradually rise, and we found that it hasn't really hit the white spirits as hard as it did, for example, at the end of 2005, when tax went up on Sanson rum, for example, by 40 baht a bottle. There was a very severe reaction on the sale of that. I think sales went down over the whole year almost 50% in 2006. But we haven't seen that happening in white spirits, which is the reason why I'm telling you that it's a very difficult thing to gauge the reaction of the consumer when the company is not actually sitting still and just letting these things happen. Okay?
Second question.
SG&A. Kun Uechai, our head of marketing, will answer the second question about SG&A. Thank you.
Your questions about the higher SG&A for the first 9 months of this year compared to last year's was from three factors. First, we have increased some marketing expenses due to fierce competitions during the first 9 months. That will be part of it. Second, as you know, that we have been sort of set up a company abroad, which the international beverage will start to employ people, and then now the teams are in place, so the cost coming up is a new cost compared to last year. And the third one, which is not too much, we have put a reserve for possible obsolete product in order to reprocess the product that we thought that is not good for sales. So it's only three of these factors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were asking something about, you know, what was our marketing reaction, I believe. How we
Yes, that's right.
How did marketing react to the increase in the taxes?
Well, first, I'm sure we should have said that we pass on everything to the consumers. I mean, we would like to sort of still maintain our margin. What will happen is the impact will be on the white spirit more than anything else, because the tax increase is the highest in terms of percentage when you compare to the brown spirits, and the people, the grassroots probably have less money, so that the impact is high. What we did, we believe that the behavior of the drinkers will change a bit. Okay, there will be a, if you imagine a waterfall, first the consumer will switch to the lower, the smaller size first, because by purchasing per unit for the small bottle is cheaper. That's the first step that we believe it will happen. Then the second step, which is also possible, that the consumers will switch down from drinking high degree or high strength, like 40, if they used to drink 40 degree, they've probably moved down to 35. If people who used to drink 35 probably moved down to 30, because the price is higher on the higher degree strength because of the tax structure. And then next step will be the move down to the secondary brands. For ThaiBev, we have at the moment three brands altogether. Our leading brand is Roncal. The two secondary brands is Leong Thai and Sue Khao. So what we did is we have to probably produce a lot more smaller bottles, and then we price our white spirit, the secondary white spirit, Leong Thai and Sue Khao, about 5 baht lower than the Roncal. So we have at least three price steps. Okay, if Roncal is say 75 baht a bottle in the market, then Leong Thai will be 70, and Sue Khao will be 65, in the same with under the same strength. So we did prepare more small bottles, and we did focus more on the secondary brands to make it a safety net for a consumer to trade down.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna, that's about all we have to say. I don't know whether there was any follow-up.
Yes, I mean, the only follow-up, I guess I'm trying to understand is that, what do you see in terms of secular trend in terms of, you know, what's going to happen to white spirit sales volumes? And also, it was mentioned that, people, it makes sense for them, A, to buy smaller quantities, and B, to switch over to lower alcohol content beer. So, try to understand, where are you positioned in respect to your product portfolio? You know, do you already have that segment covered in terms of the lower alcohol content, or, you know, it is something you're going to do in order to capture, some of the lost volume? So, I'm trying to get a handle of what your strategy is, more in terms of, people, and I guess it's been explained how you will deal with people buying smaller quantities,
but more so
in terms of...
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt you.
How do you...
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I was going to get on with the story a little bit. Yeah, could we just answer very quickly about this? Because actually, you know, our portfolio does cover every one of the alcohol degrees that we've mentioned. I would suggest that you quickly download a copy of the IR presentation from the website, because all the product portfolio is in there, and it explains about this in the IR presentation. So I think, you know, just to cut the long story short, we do have the complete product portfolio going from the top to the bottom now in terms of white spirits, not only in terms of price, but in terms of different degrees of alcohol, should people want to trade up or trade down in that sense. and we have the small bottles. We've already got all these things. So essentially, what Mr. Oichai was just explaining to you are the things that we are actually putting into practice already. Is that okay?
All right, that should be fine. Thank
you. Thanks a lot, then. Let's get on to the next question, then, please.
Our next question comes from James Squire at Overlook Investment. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, James.
Good afternoon, Dean. I've got a couple of questions. I'll just ask them one at a time, if I may,
yeah.
and then get a response from you.
Right.
First one is a specific question to the Brown Spirits volumes.
Yeah.
I've calculated what you sold in the third quarter here, and I was just looking for some expectation of how you might see volumes pick up in the fourth quarter.
Okay. You want to say
I don't need to have a specific number, but you can just give me a trend. It's going to be similar to the third quarter. But obviously, I don't have the comparison for fourth quarter because we haven't been given a comparable figure there.
Okay, James, this is Wei Chai again. Well, the wild spirit volume growth in the third quarter is only some 3%. Just one reason, because tax increase on August the 28th, and I announced the price increase right away and start selling at the new price from September 1. So our September sale is quite depressed, which is very natural because the trade will not buy new stock until they are selling the old one. So it's kind of a destock period for September. In October, they probably already resume back to buying their stocks. So we hope and expect the fourth quarter growth to be higher, because only September alone that we have pretty low sale because of what happening.
Okay, is that okay, James?
If I was to give an estimate of millions of litres, it would be sort of nearer the high 20s number. Is that about right?
No, we can't really forecast in numbers. It's been a policy of the company since we became public that we won't give away numbers exactly. But I think what OHI is trying to explain is that, you know, really, Brown Spirits are doing quite well. The premiumization policy that he's put into effect will have more of an effect on the bottom line. The volumes, I don't see that it's going to grow tremendously quickly, but it's increasing at a steady pace. And obviously, keep in mind that the fourth quarter is always the best quarter of the year. Keep in mind that there is going to be a lot of celebrations, I suppose, once this election gets done up country. So there should be a certain amount of sales growth from that. But we're not forecasting tremendous growth all the time. We've often said that total spirits for the whole year, we'd be happy with 1 to 1.5% for total spirits. And most of that is going to come from Brown Spirits.
James, I would like to add, I shouldn't say, I just give you a hint. Last year, our Brown Spirits start to grow from Q2 after we launched two brands, and Q4, the growth is quite high already at that time.
Yeah.
So the base of Q4 last year is quite big. So don't put like the double-digit growth or anything like that. You won't get that. But it will
okay,
be growing.
Thank
it will
you.
Be growing. Yeah, okay, James.
Right.
Second question.
You said you had two questions.
Our next question comes from Shinarat Budmahanan.
Oh, Shinarat, hi.
The line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Just a quick question regarding the impact of the retail price increases. How much do you expect the retail prices for the white spirit product increase, and how much margins the distributor have to absorb from you? Price increase level. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
From the wholesale level impact.
Yeah. Chinarat is 10 baht increase per bottle roughly. and then we will not absorb anything. Whatever the tax increase, we pass on everything. We would like to retain our margin. The impact is we have to still have to be seen, but there will be some impact in the short term because of the current economy and also the adjustment of the consumers. But the long term, I still believe, I always said that the Thai market, you probably only expect the growth from the beer and the brown spirit, and the white spirit will probably not going to be growing in the future. But what we need to do is to maximize our profit in the white spirit and keep on launching the more premium products in the brown spirit and beer.
Okay.
And just one other follow-up question regarding your logistics. How much impact or cost saving do you think you'll derive from the new logistics investment?
Well, we the logistic project is quite a big project, right? And then the IRR definitely more than 10 to 12%. But we can't give you the exact number there, because let me explain about what we are doing. You imagine we have white spirit distillers around Thailand, right? That is no problem because our brands can pick up the white spirit from the factories. But the beer and the brown spirit, we have only three brown spirit distillers located near Bangkok, and also beer in two in the central and then one in the north. And then at the moment, we have to deliver to 95 branches. If you draw a line, it will be like a spider web. What we plan to do is to build a DC, the distribution center around Thailand. One in the northeast, one in the south, one in the central, and so on. And then we will have a big lorry transport goods to the DC, and then from that DC we transport to the nearby provinces. That would be the concept that we will see, which is not very new. Actually, it's very natural. But how much we can't just give you the number right now. But definitely, it will not only save a lot of money, but it's also prepare us to distribute some other product besides alcoholic beverage. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next question then, please.
We now have a follow-up question from James Squire from Overlook Investment.
Okay.
Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Go ahead, James.
This time it's from the beer side of the business. And the question is really the impact on the profitability of moving into the low alcohol beer, and also the launch of the Isan brand, beer brand, and whether the launch of this brand was responsible for the increase in the finished goods we saw at the end of the third quarter in the beer sector.
James, no, I think there are sub-questions that the beer business margin between the low alcohol and the high, between Chang and Acha is very similar. We don't have much difference there because we're paying the same tax. And the launch of Isan beer is just started. The inventory that you saw increase is not because of that, because we prepare ourselves for the coming selling period, because we projected to sell quite higher than we can do in 1 month, so we have to still accumulate a stock for that. Nothing to do with Isan beer, but we'll closely monitor the Isan beer and, you know, reporting to you guys later on.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Vincent Fernando from Citigroup. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Okay, actually, just three very quick numbers questions. The first is, do you have any data you can provide on your latest market share for beer? And I would be referring to all segments of beer in total for Thailand, the market share relative to that. Second question is on what tax rate you expect going forward. It seems to me like in the third quarter, your tax rate, maybe my numbers are off a bit, but it looks even to be about 35%.
Your effective income tax rate, you mean, is it? Yeah, that's
I'm just taking your tax number and earning before tax.
Yeah, it's quite common.
Okay, so just what you think that would be going forward, if that's maybe this is the run rate or maybe it's different. And the third quick one is just what kind of dividend payout ratio should we expect going forward? Thank you.
Dividend ratio.
Okay.
Okay, the first question is, we don't have official data for the market share at the moment, but we monitor it from the tax paid figures. We still be able to maintain the market share, and then I think that there will be some brand that losing market share, but I don't want to mention because it's our competitive brands, especially in the premium sector. Some of them already lose market share, but we don't have the official one. And dividend policy,
still not less than 50% of net profit. It's been going up slightly on a half yearly basis, but there's only been two payouts since we became public, so it's difficult to say how fast it will rise, but it's still always a promise of not less than 50% of net profit after reserves. Now, the question about the tax rate, I have Khun Banjong, who is the controller from the finance department here, and he would explain why it's more than 30%.
This is Banjong. The main two items for the higher effective tax rate. One, because we have the difference between accounting principle and the tax principle. Some items which we treat as expense in accounting principle, but for the tax, they did not allow us to book this item as expense. The number two, the income tax came from our subsidiaries. Some subsidiaries has lost, some subsidiaries has gained. So when we net the net profit, they include loss and profit. So the income tax come from the subsidiary who has net profit. So the effective tax rate will become higher than the 30%.
Is the 9 month rate that we see here, is that a good run rate, or should we expect this to be down a little lower or higher?
Yes, I think it should be lower because you see that because we have put the reserve for the possible obsolete material spirits, so the reserve we are not treated as the expense per tax. And we expect that the reserve will be not the actual obsolete will be less than our reserve.
So we expect it to come down to the norm of 30%. Anything else, Vincent?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, next question, please. Anybody else with a question, please?
Our next question comes from Mabel Wong. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mabel. I have a question. Hi, Richard. Hi, Weichai. I have a question on the selling SG&A expenses. Weichai explained there were three reasons behind there was a sharp increase in the SG&A expense in the third quarter. I just want to know how much of this is attributable to the increase in marketing cost to counter competition from the second half, and the trend of SG&A in fourth quarter and going forward.
Well, I think because of the Isan Beer launch, everybody thought that they really sort of dumped the money to fight with them. Not so. It's just increased marginally because the third quarter, the whole Thai economy is a bit quiet. Mm. So everybody need to really pump in something to make sure that the market still get excited. It's not because we Isan Beer coming in then we have to dump it. The A&P policy is still the same. We're still looking at 5% A to S ratio, and then it will still be within budget that we set. I don't think we should get too worried about that this is Zambia will will force us to really put a lot of money to defend it. But Isambi is launched only one part of Thailand, which is the northeastern part. So what we did is we really focus our retail teams and on-premise team to really counteract that, not just get the money from the bank and slap them. No.
I think from the very first quarter, Mabel, we mentioned when the SG&A came down, because free beer came down quite a lot, we did say that the marketing department reserves the right to go up to 8% of total volume. We've always said that that was the target, and that just because it was a lot lower than that, for example, in the first quarter, it didn't mean that we wouldn't actually hit the target by the end of the year. And it still looks like Khun Hoi Chai is very confident that he can meet that target. Don't worry. Okay?
Mabel, and remember we have the new team.
So the SG&A ratio will be down?
Well, we're just discussing now that the fact that we've got a new marketing team as well.
No, not the whole team.
The whole
international
team.
Just international, come on board.
Right, and their salaries are very much more expensive than Thailand.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right then. Next question then, please.
Okay.
Yep, thank you. Next question, please.
That's all the questions we have at the moment. Just as a final reminder, if you would like to ask your question, just press star 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time, and we'll pause momentarily. Another question from James Squire from Overlook Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, go on, James.
My final question is just to do with depreciation and amortization, and when you expect that rate to be peaking relative to sales.
Yeah, hang on a second, then we will just discuss it briefly with the finance people. Okay, it seems like we're not expecting any more investments, so quarter three should have actually been the peak for this, so we're not expecting anything else in the near future. So it looks, looks like we've hit the peak in the third quarter.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now take our final question for today from Maria Lapid from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi there.
Can you please expand a little bit on your provision for obsolete products? And second, I think I missed this part. The logistics, for the logistics. Could you give us information on that, and what would be the outlay like in the next 2 years?
Yeah, okay. I can answer very fast about the logistics. It's 2.5 billion baht. So, she had two questions. So, the second question I can answer quickly and say it's 2.5 billion baht, and that will only take about 3 years, I think. So, that's that question out of the way. About the obsolete stock, maybe now.
Well, what we did is we really doing the stock check of our old products, and then this is all we find at the moment, right? So we don't know that in the future how much it will be, but hopefully it will not be too much, because this is a sort of the product that the label are torn, or the liquid are not good for sales. So what we did is we really claim back the tax from the government, and we used the liquid to redistill. What we lost is the packaging and all that. And I don't expect to have sort of a very big volume in the future, because this time we did it quite a thorough check on our inventories.
Any particular reason on the timing?
On the what, sorry?
Is there any particular reason about the timing of, you know, the decision to take a sort of life?
No, I think it was just a normal physical check. I think it, you know, it happens on a reasonably regular basis, but not often. Not you know, not short periods, but every now and again, we will actually have people go in and do a physical stock check. So I think what Kun Oichai said was quite interesting is that because we pay the excise tax before we sell. If we don't sell and we actually have to take the liquid out and throw the bottles away or whatever, we can claim the tax back, which is quite good for the company, I suppose. When you do have things where the bottles are chipped or the labels are torn off completely, you know, it's not a total write-off for the company, which is quite good. Is that okay then, Maria?
Thank you.
Okay.
And as it appears we have no further questions, Mr. Jones, I'd like to hand the call back to you for any closing or additional remarks.
Thanks. Well, thank you everybody for listening and talking with us this evening. The IR department will be on call during the daytime to answer any questions that you have. Please send me an email or call me if you do have a question. I thank you again one more time for attending this conference call and say good night. Thank you very much. Goodbye.